The schoolhouse had burned to the ground by the time morning banished the demons back to the core. Celia went with her parents to view the wreckage.
They rebelled, love.
There was a crowd of onlookers, but Edouard had men keep them back while he inspected the scene.
Ayer.
He pointed to the shattered ward post they had seen the night before.
This is where the breach occurred.
There's chalk on the ward.
Celia felt her stomach clench, remembering Harl Tanner's chalk-covered hands.
Did he mar the ward on purpose?
It was a heavy accusation to lay without evidence, especially since Harl could strike back with accusations of his own. Isaac Fisher, the speaker for Fishing Hole, arrived soon after with his children, Braddock and Deirdre.
Everything all right, Edouard?
Burned and bruised, but nothing lost that can't be rebuilt.
And better than before. Wood and stone are nothing next to our lives, which is why I think it's time we spoke.
Edouard looked at Braddock, standing respectfully back, eyes down, as if noticing him for the first time.
Let's go back to the house and put the kettle on. Celia, why don't you take Deirdre and Angie back to your room for a spell?
Of course, Father. You all right?
Lucky to be alive. Two flame demons and a rock breached the schoolhouse wards.
And you were there?
Couldn't just leave Angie to them.
Came in like the deliverer himself.
Deirdre glanced at the young watchwoman as they entered the house and went to Celia's room. She took in the rumpled bedclothes and the torn dresses on the floor.
You slept here?
What of it?
Think you know what?
Don't see why you care. If you brought your Don Raddick to discuss what I expect. Besides, said yourself there weren't enough members in the Square Girls Club.
Didn't mean you should go and bed some starch-necked watch skink.
Hey!
Just fun till we find husbands. Ain't that what you said? That it don't mean anything?
Don't. And you'll be promised soon enough.
See about that.
Say no, and I'll see the whole rippin' town knows why.
And tell your own part in it? That you put horns on your own brother, letting him shine on the girl you were kissing.
Your word against mine.
Harl Tanner knows.
What?
Caught us behind the schoolhouse yesterday. Threatened to tell I didn't find a way to get him back in school without his dad finding out.
Night.
Tell tales, and we'll all be in for it.
Got it all covered, then. Celia Square gets what she wants, and the Fishers can hang.
Ain't like that, Deirdre.
Celia reached for her, but Deirdre batted the hand away, turning and leaving the room. Celia turned to Angie, but the girl refused to meet her eyes.
Celia, it's a good match.
Maybe. But I don't love him.
19 summers to your name. Don't know what love is. Love comes from building a home together. From living for someone else. It's a seed watered by years and shared responsibility.
Ain't how you and Dot tell it. Dot didn't quit his messenger job and sell his house and mill to come plant a seed and wait years to see if it grew.
You've the right of that.
Stay out of this.
I won't. It was my blessing Isaac came for, and I gave it thinking it was what Celia wanted. If it ain't...
Edouard spread his hands.
Thank you, Dot.
You sure about this, Sunshine? Fishers are apt to be steamed if I take it back. And a thing to do if you're still thinking.
Had years to think on it. Don't want Raddick.
Then who do you want? Ain't a child anymore, Celia. Time you started a family.
A peace, love. One worry at a time.
Worry about where I'm gonna teach next.
It can wait a few days until
Can't! Know these folks better than you, Edward. Most of them think schooling's a waste of time already. Won't send their kids back, they lose the habit.
There was an old barn, unused since Mart Bales had passed on. Before the first day was through, Edouard had an army of folk clearing it out, sweeping the floor, and shoring up the wards. Others built a wooden frame, and once it was hauled from the wreckage, six men lifted the great bell atop it. At dusk, Lori pulled the bell herself, letting folk know school would be back in session the next day. Celia and Angie heard it in the darkness of Celia's room.
Stubborn, your ma'am.
Runs in the family.
They stayed up late into the night, talking between kisses, asking questions, falling deeper and deeper as they bared their lives to one another.
Don't want to marry. That means a man. Be a lonely spinster first.
Spinster, eh? Maybe. Don't think you'll be lonely.
As Celia drifted off to sleep, she felt a peace such as she had never known. A crowd of children were gathering at the barn the next morning when Radek and Deirdre appeared, their expressions cold.
Here to help school back to its feet, ma'am. But come next season, you'll need to find new teachers.
You're a good man, Radek.
For the rest of the day, Radek refused to meet Celia's eyes, and Deirdre glared needles at Angie. Celia kept as far from Angie as possible, but every now and then they would catch each other's eye when no one was looking and share a secret smile. Radek didn't linger at the afternoon bell. Deirdre looked like she might want to stay and have words with Celia, but Radek practically dragged his sister along with him as he hurried away.
All right. You look sad.
Deirdre and Radek are my friends. Never meant to hurt them.
Ain't your fault you don't want Radek.
Or Deirdre doesn't want me.
Tensions remained all week, but Radek and Deirdre always left promptly at the bell, and no sooner were they around the bend in the road than Angie slipped her hand into Celia's. They were inseparable after that, whether it be chores or the long hours by the hearth in the common after Edouard and Laurie retired. They talked quietly but eagerly, breathless in anticipation of heading to bed together. Market day came around again, and Fern Tanner showed up with her son Harl. The boy looked pale and haggard, with dark circles under his eyes. Was that the look of guilt, or one who had spent a week in the Tanner outhouse for spitting and fighting at school? Was it thoughtlessness or malice that led him to mar the ward post? The former was punishable, but the latter was monstrous. Celia didn't want to believe anyone in the Brook capable of such a thing. Laurie went to greet Mrs. Tanner and asked that Harl wait outside while Celia's mother talked to Fern. Celia was told to take the other children inside to start their lessons. Laurie and Fern were in the back room for a long time, and Fern was red-faced when she left the barn. A moment later, Harl entered and took a seat with the other children. He looked up at Celia and gave her a dark smile. Celia turned and saw Radek enter the barn, face red and twisted. He stormed over to where Deirdre was preparing slates and grabbed her hard by the arm. She tried to pull away, but Radek was larger and stronger, dragging her out the side door to talk privately. Laurie came out of her makeshift office to take over lessons, and Celia hitched up her skirts, hurrying out the side door. Radek had Deirdre against the wall, looming over her.
Let her go, Radek!
Radek looked at her, then shoved Deirdre so hard she stumbled and would have fallen if Celia hadn't rushed to catch her. There was no gratitude in Deirdre's eyes for the save. She shoved Celia just as hard, and the three of them stood glaring at each other.
Just a joke to you two, and I. Square Girls Club laughing at Radek behind his back while you...
Ain't like that, Radek. Wanted Celia to marry you as much as any.
So you could keep her close? Shame me whenever I wasn't about?
Ever think for a ripping second that maybe the world don't revolve around Radek Fisher? It so much as brought me flowers, but I'm supposed to fall into your arms because your dad talked to mine? Did you ever spare a moment to consider what I might want?
I was supposed to guess what you wanted was my sister?
Not anymore. Harl didn't tell all. She's cast us both aside for Angie Watch.
Celia and Angie sat at opposite sides of Celia's father's table, Georgie and Edouard between them, facing each other across the polished wood. Neither of the men sat. Radek could have shouted the news far and wide. It was market day, and the whole town would have known by sunset. But that would have shamed him as well. Instead, he marched right to Georgie, who was helping oversee work on the schoolhouse.
Apologies, Square, for bringing this indecency into your house.
You didn't bring anything.
Georgie looked at Celia as though she were a disobedient toddler throwing a tantrum, then turned back to Edouard.
Seems your girl didn't need much prodding, but that doesn't mean I don't share responsibility for bringing temptation to your burrow.
He turned a hard glare at Angie. Her eyes were down, but she wilted under the weight of it nevertheless.
Thought my granddaughter and I had an understanding about how she was to behave here. But the canon reminds us wickedness runs deep. Time she was back under my roof where I can keep my eye on her and the switch to hand.
No real harm done here, Walsh. Just girls experimenting.
Experimenting?
Two marriages ruined, and you call it experimenting. These are women grown, Square, not children who ain't been taught better.
Then why are you talking to each other and not to us? Angie didn't ruin my marriage to Raddick. Neither did Deirdre. I'm not marrying Raddick because I don't want to.
Georgie pursed his lips, turning back to Edouard.
Heard it right from her lips. Girls don't know what they want.
We're women grown until we disagree with you. Then back to girls. I've always known what I want, and it ain't Raddick Fisher.
Well, it won't be my granddaughter, I can tell you. Come along, girl.
Angie said nothing, eyes still on the floor, but she rose and followed meekly after her grandfather. Celia reached for her as she passed, but Edouard caught her arm, shaking his head.
Why didn't you just tell us?
How could I? And you keep telling me it's time to start a family.
Don't put this one on me, girl. Ain't the creator to see y'all. But you also ain't the first young woman who'd rather kiss girls than boys. Doesn't mean you need to give up on children and the family.
Just on happiness?
There's more to happiness than kissing. Night half the time gets in the way.
Don't think that's helping, Lori. Might be best if we let this sit for a night. Talk again on the morrow.
What does it matter? There's nothing to talk about. I'm going to market.
You sure that's a good idea?
Hyde and Harry ain't gonna fail the bread box. Either everyone knows, and we'll need to face it, or no one knows, and we best act normal.
It seemed the latter as Celia walked the stalls. Folk greeted her warmly, filling her basket with bread, milk, and cheese, fresh fruits and vegetables, with nary a word for recompense. The speaker and schoolma'am's family were always provided for by the townsfolk. She found herself wandering to Bill Square's stall, but neither he nor his mother were there. She was about to turn away. The voices came from behind the stall. Celia hurried around to see Bill on the ground, clutching his stomach, Raddick Fisher standing over him.
What's going on here?
Told him what would happen. What is it about town that turns folks square? First Bill, then you, and my filthy sister, now Angie Watch. A pretty girl like that ought to have suitors lined up instead.
Get on back to work, Bill.
Raddick moved to block his path as Bill got to his feet, but Celia interposed herself.
Me you're angry with, Raddick. Don't take it out on Bill.
Don't need to be like this, Celia. Only a few folk know, and they'll keep quiet. We can still fix this. I'll have you, even now.
Have me? Like I'm some cow with sour milk you'll take out of the goodness of your heart? Get it through your head, Raddick. I don't want you.
Raddick glared and balled his bandaged fist. Celia readied herself. This was all his fault, thinking she was something he could possess, like her hand was owed to him. It was Raddick's fault Deirdre kept her at arm's length. Raddick's fault Angie was gone. She hoped he would take a swing at her so she could at least have the satisfaction of blacking his eye. But whether he saw all that in her eyes, or simply thought better of trying to hit the speaker's daughter, Raddick took a step back, shaking his fist instead of swinging it.
You were never a prize, Celia. Face like stone and paps like flat cakes. Da's money and station were what made you worth marrying. Word gets out, doubt even that'll be enough.
Celia slapped him. Anger and humiliation splayed across Raddick's reddening face. He put a hand to it and hurried out of the marketplace.
You all right?
I was about to ask you. Folk found out about you and Deirdre?
You knew?
See things when you look at girls in the eye instead of the bubbies. Don't think anyone else knows. You won't, you can use me.
Use you?
Keep your secret. Folks see us walking, think you turned down Raddick because you wanted someone else.
I'm kind of you, Bill. We both deserve better than that.
334 AR.
Never would have guessed that in 100 years, but it explains a lot.
Yes and no. Raddick had a swollen head, and Georgie had a harsh view of folk who were different long before my indiscretions.
That why you never...
Don't see that's your business, Jeff Bales.
Aye, Speaker. Sorry.
Time we were going in any event. Wasted enough of your night with storytelling. But folk are gonna talk, and it was best you heard it from me.
Meeta put a hand on her shoulder, squeezing.
Don't sound like you done anything wrong, Speaker.
Nah, well, ain't the whole story. That's all you're getting tonight.
Celia wanted nothing but her bed when she returned home that night. But instead, she found Lisa waiting in the darkness on the porch.
Go home, girl.
Mam and Da are still camped at Jeff's.
Maybe. But I'm tired, Lisa.
Always say that until I...
Not tonight.
Don't care what happened 50 years ago, Celia. This ain't then, and we ain't promised to anyone.
Woodbrain girl. I ain't told you how it ended.
Celia opened the door and went into her small house. Lisa stepped forward, but Celia slammed the door in her face, dropping the bar. Sleep was harder to find than usual. Celia stayed awake till nearly dawn, lost in memories 50 years in the past. When she finally crawled into bed, it seemed her eyes had barely closed.
Oh, girl. Wants the whole town to see her.
Enough!
Mac Pastor's young grandson, Tam, took a step back at her shout, eyes wide.
Sorry, Speaker. Didn't think you were asleep. Mid-morning.
Celia glanced at the sky and saw he was right. She'd slept more than she'd thought.
Everything all right?
Aunt, Da says you need to hurry. Carlings are acting strange.
Strange how?
Up to something in the woods. Heard the noise all night. Crashes and cracks, like a crew of cutters clearing a stand.
Nut. Come in and tell me everything.
Celia sent Tam up Boggins Hill to the Holy House, where Tender Harold blew a signal on the great horn. Less than an hour later, Celia's militia was mustered in the square. Celia rode up, armor and weapons strapped to her horse. Lusick Boggin took note.
What's happened?
Trouble up on Mac Pastor's land. Just going for a look now, but expect fighting tonight. Want a warded camp set up in his fallow field.
Aye, Speaker.
Lisa approached next.
Get your rest.
Slept like a babe. Sounds like the pastures had a rougher night. Man up. I want to be at his farm before we lose the afternoon.
Celia could see the young woman was stung by the dismissal, but there was nothing for it. Daylight was wasting. The cutters met them on the road, and Celia set a hard pace that had them at Mac's farm by mid-afternoon, but not fast enough, it seemed. The watches beat her there.
Should have worn more armor.
Celia saw Georgie Watch talking to Mac while his men hobbled horses and set up ward posts in the field she'd meant for her own fighters.
What's that, Speaker?
Just grumbles.
Celia slipped down from her horse, leaving her spear and shield behind with her armor.
Pastor? Speaker?
Speaker? Thank you for coming so quickly.
Celia?
What's happened?
Demons came out in force last night.
Happens on New Moon. Doesn't look like they did much damage.
Didn't attack the wards. Like I was telling Georgie, they stayed out in the woods. Heard crashes and bangs all night. Could see the glow of fire, smell smoke. Up to something, Celia. Bet the farm on it.
Ain't gone for a look since sunup?
Figured it's best to wait for the militia. Dark in those woods.
Little shade ain't dark enough for demons, Pastor.
Did the right thing. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Despite her chiding of Mac, Celia took the time to fetch her weapons and armor before heading into the woods with Brian and Lusick, while the militia made an uncomfortable camp next to the watchman. As Mac had claimed, there were signs of felled trees everywhere. Cracked stumps, deep holes, flinders of wood, and roots jutting from the torn soil like broken bones. Of the trees themselves, there was little sign.
Night. In normal, Celia. Mac's got the right of that.
They found Georgie deeper in the woods, squatting in front of a wide trench and running his hand over the bank. It was shallow, perhaps a yard deep in most places, but it ran in both directions, curving around out of sight.
Soil's fresh. This was dug last night, and then packed smooth. Ever see a demon clean its own mess, Cutter?
Aunt, what do you make of it, Celia?
Celia pursed her lips, walking along the edge of the trench, following its curves with her eyes.
They're building a great ward, just like on Jeff's farm.
Surely not.
Arlen Bales told his dad something like this happened in Hollow County on New Moon. Means a Corling prince has come to Tibbetts Brook.
Demons got royalty?
No more than hornets, but that don't mean we want them building a nest. Ryan, I want cutters up in the trees. Now, see if you can map it out.
Aye, Speaker.
You and Jeff Bale have been keeping secrets. Messenger didn't trust the council with any of this.
Any reason he should have? Had it your way, his promise would be in a demon's belly.
Ain't one to talk, Celia.
Stung, Celia had no retort.
What's the point of arguing now? Georgie has a right to know what we're facing.
Mind demons, they're called. Only came out 3 nights a month. New moon and the nights before and after. Pinch your thoughts like stealing an apple from a cart you're not careful. Make sure your men have mind wards on their helmets.
Sort of that already. Anything about how to kill them or what this demon ward does?
Expect it's like our wards, meant to keep us out once night falls. We let the Corlings finish it, they can work more mischief and sucker. As for how to kill him, put a spear in him, I reckon.
Brine's cutters scaled trees easy as climbing a ladder, pointing to something deeper in the woods. Celia and Georgie went to investigate, pulling up short as they found the missing lumber.
Night.
Creator protect us.
The trees had been hauled to the center of the demon ward, arranged like twigs in a dome that had the appearance of a gigantic weaver bird's nest, packed with dirt from the trenches. Shielded from the sun, its entrance was dark and forbidding.
Ain't going in there, day or night.
Honest word.
Can we burn it?
Brine put a hand against the structure, trying not to let the others see his fingers shaking.
Damp soil, raw wood. Maybe if we had time, but running out of sun.
Ward posts, circle that nest. Make sure the mine wards are biggest. The Corlin Prince has come to the brook, you can bet the farm it's in there.
Ain't gonna matter, a demon ward lights up.
Could we fill the trenches?
If we put every hand on it, it might do in a few months.
We can't undo the demon's work, but we can mar it.
Celia pointed to the map.
Here and here. Lusick, have made with spades collapse the banks. Brian, have cutters fell trees to fall across the trenches.
Aye.
What good will that do? Corlins will just come haul them away.
Aye. And we'll be waiting. They'll be rising soon. Everyone remember why we're here. We keep the ward from activating at all costs. Do not let the demons work.
Celia gripped her spear in a sweaty fist as she dropped into the shallow trench and hunched down. It was barely waist high. She could leap clear in an instant, but it was still hard to shake the feeling of being cornered.
Trapped.
It didn't help that Georgie Watch knelt a few feet away, face serene as he prayed, his walking stick laid across his knees. He'd gone along with Celia's plans, acting as if they were his all along, but he wouldn't allow her the glory of holding the front line alone. And so they waited as the shadows lengthened and full dark fell. Georgie's eyes popped open, scanning the trench floor, but demons couldn't rise through worked surfaces, and the hard-packed soil of the trench seemed sufficient to push them up the bank. A wood demon began to materialize right above Georgie. It was at its most vulnerable at this moment, but he took his time, making sure he did not ruin their surprise. Then he gave the signal. His men readied weapons as he unsheathed the spear point at the end of his cane, then drove it like a stake up through the demon's belly into its black heart.
Now!
Celia picked out her own target, a wood demon materializing a few feet away atop the trench bank. She straightened to her full 6-foot height, coming up from hiding, to drive her spear into the Corling's back. Celia had her shield up now, moving north along the trench with her fighters as Georgie moved south. Demons that had materialized away from the trench raced their way, but Brian and his cutters roared from the trees, hacking at them from behind. Celia's eyes swept ahead, seeing a 10-foot-tall rock demon around the next bend of the trench. The beast looked confused, expecting to dig rather than do battle, but it was more than willing as Celia and her fighters rounded the bend. The rock demon swiped its great talons at her, but the wards on Celia's angled shield deflected the blow. It swiped again with its other arm, but Lisa was there, putting her shoulder behind her shield to cover Celia. The demon tried to spin, swiping at them with its great tail, but the narrow trench tripped it up, and as it stumbled, they struck hard. Lisa stabbed into the joint of the demon's armored knee, buckling the limb and allowing Celia a clear strike at the gap between the plates in the demon's groin. The demon fell their way, but the women danced back, steps in sync like a festival reel. They parted, and Lusik rushed between them, planting his spear into the demon's eye. Celia looked up to see a field demon crouching on the lip of the trench. Lisa tried to get her shield up as the Corling pounced, but it was too fast, knocking her sprawling.
Lisa!
Celia rushed in, but she could not find a clear target to stab without risk of hitting Lisa as they struggled. The demon's claws found purchase at last, tearing armor plate like paper as its jaws snapped forward at Lisa's bared throat. Celia abandoned her own spear and shield to tackle the demon, knocking it off Lisa. Celia landed atop the creature. Her heavy gloves were reinforced with warded steel across the knuckles, and she punched the wriggling demon in the face. Again and again she struck.
Celia!
Nothing mattered but hammering the demon. The world fell away, and there was only the struggle for survival.
Celia!
Celia turned on the girl, magic burning through her limbs, and nearly punched her head off. Lisa saw the blow coming and parried it, rushing in to wrap Celia in her arms.
All right now, Celia! It's dead! It's dead!
Celia stared at the ichor-spattered demon beneath her, its head a ruined mass.
You almost died. I was so awful to you the last time we...
Shh. It's all right. Shh. This old lady Baron trying to scare me off. I don't scare easy.
Thank the creator.
Celia caught sight of Lusik Boggin staring at them, eyes wide as they kissed.
Got something to say, boy?
No, Speaker.
Good boy.
The demon ranks thinned after the initial assault, and the militias were able to hold the trenches until the sky began to lighten. When the remaining demons began to mist back down to the core, Celia finally put up her spear.
Creator be praised.
Georgie sheathed the tip of his cane and turned to his great-nephew, Fred Watch.
Send runners to South Watch and Soggy Marsh. I want every strong back in town up here first thing in the morning, taking this ward apart.
Fred punched a fist to his chest and ran off. Celia's mouth was sour, but she turned to Brine.
He's right. Fishers, Balkans, Bales' pastures, we need every hand on this. Caught them with their breeches down tonight, but don't reckon that trick will work twice. There's still one night left to New Moon.
And next month? Month after that?
Core, if I know. For now, take the wounded back to camp in Maxfield and see if we can get Colleen Trigg up here.
Aye, Speaker.
Lisa met her eyes as Brine stepped away, and Celia felt her breath catch. Georgie had a bride at home no older than Lisa, his seventh, yet she was denying herself?
Reckon Max got an empty hayloft, girl?
I think we can find a spot.
Georgie's eyes followed the two women as they walked away, but Celia ignored it. Georgie wasn't the only one whose winters had turned to summers. If she was being given another chance at life, she didn't mean to let Georgie Watch and Radic Fisher dictate how it was lived. The whole town lent a hand after sunup, marring the demon Great Ward by felling trees, tearing brush, and digging furrows to break the lines. Mac and his family were given warded weapons, and teams were sent to search the woods for any sign the demons had begun work elsewhere. The Marshes arrived around midday, grim-faced as they drove several carts heavily laden with barrels into the camp.
What's this?
The condition of our compact. For too long, the Marshes had drowned their problems, wallowing in strong drink rather than solving with hard work.
Celia couldn't argue. Soggy Marsh was famed for its stills, producing marsh water, a spirit made from fermented rice that could double as lamp oil. Marsh water wasn't as tasty as Boggin's ale, but Hogg did a brisk business selling it in the general store. Two fingers were enough to put smaller folk off balance. Four could set a grown man stumbling about, singing half-forgotten songs at the top of his lungs.
This solves two problems at once.
They led the carts to the great demon hive. Marshes hauling casks up to the top and cracking them open, while others worked a fire pump, spraying the logs and mud with marsh water. When the last of it was dumped, the stink of alcohol was thick in the air, Georgie himself lit the torch and threw it onto the pile, sending great billowing clouds of evil black smoke into the sky. The marshes watched sadly as their beloved marsh water burned. The heat and smoke made their eyes water, tears streaking the greasy ash on their faces. The hive dome collapsed, and an hour later the structure imploded, falling in on itself and leaving a crater of frightening depth beneath. Yawning tunnels circled the crater in almost every direction, illuminated by the burning wreckage. All stretched deep into the ground, farther than Celia could see.
Ugh, all the way to the core, or I'm a fisher.
They were on guard as the sun set, hundreds of spears, mattocks, and bows. But there was no sign of Corling's rising as full dark came.
Not so much as a regular.
Maybe they ran off for good?
These demon princes are as clever as you say. They know we're waiting. They...
Celia saw smoke and the glow of fire. The Corlings had attacked Fishing Hole.
What if it's a trap? Luring us away so they can get back to work on the hive.
And a gamble I'm willing to make with all Fishing Hole on the table. Saddle up! Fishers need our help!
They raced across the brook, heedless of the moonless night. Celia set a brutal pace that many of the others, traveling on foot or less experienced at riding, could not maintain. But Georgie's great gray stallion matched her gelding stride for stride. Celia could not tell if that was due to concern for the fishers or a refusal to be seen as second to her.
Arrogant idiot woman. What does it matter? Knew these demons were smart. Knew their sights were set on the brook. You had to keep your grudges. Now the fishers are gonna pay for it.
There were houses aflame when they thundered over the bridge into Fishing Hole. Some folk had taken to the water to escape the blaze, their vessels outlined in firelight and the flare of wards as water demons sought to pull them under. Human remains were scattered in the street, but screams told Celia it was not too late for most of the folk. Something stumbled into their path, forcing Celia and Georgie to pull up so hard they nearly lost their seats. They had their weapons ready, but it was only Radek Lawrie, clutching a head wound that matted his hair and beard with blood.
Speaker?
Radek? What?
Radek swept an arm their way, the limb growing into a sinuous tentacle with a great hooked talon bigger than a reaping scythe at its end. The claw whipped across, severing the front legs of their horses like barley stalks. Celia tried to throw herself free, but she was caught and pinned as the animal rolled atop her. Georgie was quicker, leaping from the saddle and keeping his feet as his stallion went down. The demon's taloned limb whipped again, cracking across his head. The strap of his steel-reinforced hat broke, and he hit the ground hard, walking stick bouncing out of reach. Celia surged with strength and managed to scramble from under her dead horse, wiping mud from her eyes. The Corling, wearing Radek's form, was rushing her. Lisa threw her spear at it, but the demon threw itself back, sinuous as a snake as it dodged the spear and whipped back upright, barely losing momentum. Celia found her spear and turned to face the Corling. But then she felt it. A presence in her mind, setting every nerve in her body aflame as easily as she might turn up the wick of a lamp. She tried to resist, understanding that it was not a real pain, but it made no difference in the sensation. Muscles spasmed. Memories began to flash unbidden across her mind's eye. The demon rolling back the years like flipping pages in a journal. Some it passed without consideration. Moments of joy or pride or happiness. The Corling lingered instead on failures. Pains. Her weakest, most helpless moments. The burning of the school. The staking of Renna Tanner. Weeping on the road to Sunny Pasture, covered in blood. Tears streaked the mud on her face. The demon probed deeper, delving into thoughts so precious, so private, that Celia instinctively raged in response. Her anger seemed to give the Corling pause, and in that moment she felt something, a tingling on her forehead.
The mud board.
It was still there, on her helmet, covered in mud that kept it from functioning properly. She reached for it, but there was resistance in the air, as though she were pushing her hand into a rice barrel. She grit her teeth, clumsily swiping at the mud on her helmet. The moment she did, the resistance lessened. She could still feel the presence in her mind, but it was weaker now as the ward gained power. Celia stuck her muddy hand into a seam in her armor, searching. After several frantic moments, she pulled free a kerchief, using it to wipe the helmet clean. Immediately, the pressure in her mind ceased, the fire running across her nerves snuffed like a candle. Her vision cleared, and she saw the demon changeling feathered with arrows, their warded heads glowing angrily beneath its flesh. The thing with Radic's face melted away, leaving the arrows lying in the mud as it reformed into a field demon and fled the continuing fire.
Secure the streets!
Celia stumbled to her feet, moving to Georgie, who was writhing on the ground, clutching at his head. She found his hat, banded with steel, etched with mind wards. She moved close to place it back on Georgie's head, but he curled and sprang at her suddenly, wrapping his powerful arms around her legs and twisting her to the ground.
Georgie! Get a hold of yourself!
Celia didn't wait to see if the words got through. Punching hard against his unprotected head, Georgie accepted the blow, using his greater weight to pin her to the ground, hands at her throat.
I should have rid this town of you 50 years ago!
This...
Celia managed to slam a knee between his legs, but even that only seemed to intensify the mad look in Georgie's eyes. Demons were pouring out of Fishing Hole, and it was all the militia could do to hold them back. Balling a steel-gauntleted fist, Celia put the last of her strength into a shallow right hook into the back of Georgie's elbow. The blow hyperextended the joint, and for a moment his grip weakened. Celia curled her legs up and kicked out, knocking him back.
Course, boy, it ain't you, it's a demon!
Murderer!
He came at her again. This time, Celia was ready, slipping his punch and coming in underneath, poking him in the ribs, right, left, and right again. Then she shoved him back, stunned, and he was unable to dodge a sidekick that put him on the ground. He put his hands under him, and Celia knew the battle was far from over. Instead of attacking or moving to retreat, she snatched up his hat and thrust it down on his head. Georgie shook his head, the madness leaving his eyes as he looked up at her.
Celia, what?
Demon was in your mind. Touch mine as well.
Georgie's mouth was a flat line as he got to his feet, turning his eyes to scan the street.
You're welcome.
Doesn't change things, Celia.
Celia let it go at that, picking up her own spear and shield. The words were as close to thanks as she was going to get. The two of them readied to join the battle, only to find it fading. The demons, so numerous a moment ago, were scattering into the night. They swept the streets of Fishing Hole, finding survivors everywhere. Under the direction of a Corling prince, the demons had penetrated the wards almost effortlessly, but they seemed more interested in drawing the Brook's leaders into a trap than in killing fishers. The real Radic had taken refuge on one of the fishing boats.
This is your fault. Protection. You promised, yet you leave my borough without means to defend itself. And take all your fighters to protect one pasture's farm?
What Radic had said wasn't entirely fair, but neither was he wrong. It had been a mistake to withhold fighting wards from the fishers, no matter what they'd done. She opened her mouth to reply.
You speak honest word, Fisher. Southwatch can help you rebuild. See your fishing spears warded before the next new moon.
Radic stared at Georgie's hand for a long moment, then reached out and took it. He glared at Celia as the men shook.
I had that coming.
Town Square bustled over the next fortnight. Celia had people bending their backs sunrise to sunset, pulling up the paving stones in the square, and relaying them in a mosaic warding. Scared folk took on debt in hog's ledgers at the general store for tools and supplies to help them construct their own great wards. The tavern was equally busy, marshes bitterly drinking Boggins ale as everyone shared their fears. Watchmen passed through in numbers, heading to Fishing Hole with laden carts of lumber and supplies. Georgie was making good on his promise, and Celia couldn't bring herself to condemn it. She'd had all the time in the world to make things right with the fishers. Celia was everywhere in town, soothing nerves and turning them into productivity. The demons had not resumed work on the hive, but there was little that could be done to fill the massive pit, and none were fool enough to venture into its tunnels. Lisa began staying openly at her house, ostensibly as her assistant, but it seemed folk had been asking their elders, as Radic bid. The two of them drew looks whenever folk thought they weren't watching, and some normally friendly faces were colder. Still, none challenged them openly, and Celia began to think Lisa had been right.
Ma'am asked if I was a square girl today.
What did you say?
Honest word.
And she still let you come back here?
Woman grown. Even if old Lady Baron don't want to see it. Ma'am don't get to let me do anything.
Fair and true. What did she say?
What I expected. Loves me and ain't gonna stop. You're a good woman who's done right by this town, but older than me, and we won't always see eye to eye. Sad I won't have children.
Ways around that, we won't.
Ain't gonna let some man...
Don't need him to touch you. Like basting a roast. Pastors do it all the time with livestock.
The weight she'd carried for years was finally lifting. Celia went to bed with an easy heart and woke in the morning to the sound of the messenger horn. Though he brought no goods and only a small letter satchel, folk clustered in the tavern as the messenger met the town council in the back room of Hogg's store. His armor was freshly scratched and dented, man and mount haggard from the journey. He had dark hair and beard, with eyes like a night wolf.
My name is Merrick. I come as a representative of Mistress Leisha Paper, Countess of Hollow County.
Countess is a gatherer?
Aye, and thank the Creator for it. There was none better to lead when the Cretians came.
Cretians came out of the desert?
Made war on the free cities, conquered Fort Risen, and took the mainland in Lacton, driving refugees north in the thousands.
Creator.
An alliance between Milne and Angiers stopped their advance. That and the common enemy.
Corlings.
Merrick handed Celia his satchel.
It's all there in Mistress Leisha's letter, Speaker. Demons are swarming, looking to build new hives all over Thesa.
Seen their handiwork already. Marred their great ward in the western woods and set the hive ablaze. Left with a honeycomb we reckon leads all the way to the core.
Night. Did you see the mind demon?
No, but I felt it in my head before I got my wards in place.
Luckier than you know, Speaker. Ain't many get that close and walk away. But you need to understand, it ain't over. They'll be back next month, stronger than ever. Hatchling Queen takes residence in that hive. She'll see your town as her personal larder.
What can we do?
Your home, your decision. Want my advice? Pack up and leave town before next new moon.
Lisa left the house the next morning to help train recruits for the militia. On one thing, Celia and Georgie were in agreement. They would be corespond before they abandoned Tibbetts Brook to the Corlings. Celia answered the door to find Tender Harrell wringing his hands and looking decidedly uncomfortable.
How long were you waiting, hoping she'd leave?
Long enough.
Might as well come in before she gets back.
Thank you.
Stuart never told you I was a square girl? Not the square girl?
Tender Stuart. Creator, rest his spirit. Died well before his time. Perhaps he meant to when I was older.
Indeed. Harrell had been an acolyte barely in his 20s when his master died, leaving him tender to 700 folk, not counting Southwatch. He'd stumbled in the beginning, but found wisdom in later years. Celia held out hope it extended to this.
Celia...
Creator made me same as you. Must have had a reason why he made me see boys as friends and girls as...
Harrell held up a hand.
Can't even hear the words? Doesn't bode well, Tender.
I know you, Celia. Know your heart. Know how you look to the folk of this town like your own children. That's why I've come. Make sure you've thought this through.
What's that supposed to mean?
You 50 winners on that girl.
And Georgie has 90 on his latest bride. Stam's got 30 on Maddie Fisher.
Aye, and Celia Speaker always judged them for it. Never approved of Georgie taking more than one wife or a night. Anything Stam Taylor does.
And an excess of 70 Winter Square girls in Tibbetts Brook, Tender. Magic's given me a new life. Saying I should spend it alone?
Harrell spread his arms, drawing attention to his plain brown robe.
Ain't the only one had to give that up, Celia. Think I ain't got urges? But I don't act on them for the good of this town. Folk deserve a holy man who keeps his vows.
Aye. Vows mean something. But I didn't pledge my life to the Creator, Harold. What's me being alone got to do with the good of this town?
Folk look to you for an example. What's this say to them?
That I have a heart to love. That I ain't barren no matter what folk whisper at my back. That life's bigger than the box we put it in.
Is your happiness worth more than Lisa's parents?
They come to you?
Don't blame them, Celia. Only want what's best for their girl. Wanting to know what the canon says, if she'll be denied heaven.
I was reading the canon before you were born, Tender. Ain't kind of square folk, but doesn't say we can't find heaven.
Aye, and that's what I told them. We're all the Creator's children, and it's our duty to love and stand by one another, sunrise and sunset, but...
Being real patient with you, Tender. Pick your next words careful.
Folk talk, Celia. Words spreading like fire through the brook. Just rumors now, but it won't take long to confirm if you two carry on as you've done.
Sooner the better. Secrets fester, and this one's had 50 years. Time it was lanced.
Yeah, a lot of folk don't approve. Making up stories about why you really stood by Rena Tanner.
Never laid a finger on that girl.
Told them it was tampweed talk, but I don't have to tell you folk don't always listen to their tender. Lots standing by you, but others are grumbling. Worry about this spreading.
In a flux, Harold. It's who I am.
We are who we choose to be, Celia.
Time you chose to be out of my house, then.
Ain't your enemy, Celia. But Raddick's got the fishers in a stir. The Marshes are refusing to come to town square, and the Watches...
Know all about the Watches.
Raddick's called a council meeting.
Huh?
First morning of new moon. Says we can't afford to face it with you as town speaker.
Can he do that?
Any speaker can call a vote of no confidence.
Don't matter. Folk don't like what they don't understand. But they understand Raddick Lawrie turned this town upside down and got a spanking from Arlen Bales for it. They understand you've bled for the brook ever since. Ain't no way they'll take him over you.
Not girl. Ain't Raddick ripping Lawrie we need to worry about. It's Georgie.
Folk don't want to dye all their clothes black, give up ale and sugar, and go to the Holy House every day neither.
What they want is not to get ate by Corlings. Georgie's got Soggy Marsh and Fishing Hole under his protection. That's half the folk in town right there. Just a few from the other boroughs vote for him.
They won't. They can't.
Celia didn't hide that Lisa was staying in her house now, but neither did she flaunt it, keeping the girl with the others of the militia when they continued to scour the brook at night. But on the morning of new moon, when every fit man in Southwatch arrived in town square, grim-faced and with spear in hand, she knew it was already too late.
Night.
Can't say I'm surprised. Ain't the first time the Watches marched into town square looking for a fight.